नमो भुनक्खु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
is you have to go by the neck. So you don't put it there and then put the balance there. You put it here and put the balance this way.
It was going very big, so I can't make it feel better.
So it says you wear a garland around your neck, not around your elbow. Okay. The wrestlers exhibited Krodha Stai Bhava and Raudra Rasa. Since his limbs were like thunderbolts, being most brilliantly shining. He was the object, Vishaya, of anger. The wrestlers who insulted him were the Asharaya. Krodha, or anger, means to have a burning heart because of greatly disrespecting another person. This was their Stai Bhava. So in other words, this principle of rasa applies everywhere. We don't generally apply it outside of the spiritual because it's a connection with Krishna as a person, therefore it's being brought out, so we understand. But otherwise, these things apply everywhere, wherever we apply them. Okay, we're continuous to Sanatana Goswami. The citizens of Mathura, other than the wicked and his devotees, on seeing his extraordinary pastimes, were amazed. They exhibited Vishmaya Stai Bhava and Adbhuta Rasa. The Lord, known as the shelter of ordinary form and pastimes, is the Vishaya of Vishmaya Rasa. Sorry?
Extraordinary,
yes.
Because Vismaya means astonishing, so obviously it would be extraordinary.
I said ordinary. Okay. Oh, on seeing his extraordinary pastimes. Right? They exhibited Vishmaya Stai Bhava and Adbhuta Rasa. The Lord, known as the shelter of extraordinary form and pastimes, is the Vishaya Vishmaya Rasa. Expansion of the heart by seeing something astonishing is called Vishmaya. That is the Stai Bhava. The citizens of Mathura were generally favorable, were the Ashrayas of this Rasa.
Stai Bhava. Expansions of the heart of seeing something astonishing. I mean, that seems like something that happens sometimes. How can it be Stai Bhava?
Means in relationship to the Lord, this is how they see. They always see that extraordinary aspect of the Lord.
It's always like that.
Yes. So they're always seeing that whatever the Lord does is special, extraordinary, and like that. So that's the idea. Like that. So you have that the you have the Stai Bhava and then you have the Rasa. So then you're seeing if you know what's going on there. So they have that generic kind of thing like that. You know, like we say there's Braja Bhava and then there's the particular Rasa, or there's Vaikuntha and then there's this. So then here is that they're taking one of the secondary rasas as the main. And then other aspects than what's being manifested. The women of Mathura, other than the elder women, manifest Rati while thinking of him as their beloved. They exhibited Priyata Stai Bhava and Sringara Rasa. In Sringara, he is known as more beautiful than a million cupids. He is the Vishaya, and the young women are the Ashraya. This becomes the cause of enjoyment. The Stai is called Priyata. You know, I guess Priyata means who's dear.
Who's dear.
Yeah. So that's the point. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's within that, but it's only that much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Does that make sense? Like the gopis, then that's one aspect. But then there's so much more is there. But with them, that's the aspect. Carrying the elephant's tusk and dressed in an unusual manner, he became the object of laughter for friends. When he is known as an equal in age, among friends, he is the Vishaya of Sakya, Preo. Sridham and others are the Ashraya. The Rati is devoid of reverence and mercy, and has familiarity. Shaka is the Stai. The coward boys have Hasya and Sakya. The wicked king saw him as a punisher. They experienced Virya Rasa and the Stai Bhava called Utsaha on seeing his extreme courage. He is the Vishaya of Utsaha. So Utsaha means that enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Kamsa's friends are the Ashraya. Utsaha is the Stai. There is a desire to fight fiercely on seeing bravery. Right? As soon as you see it, then you want to fight. Right? It doesn't matter where you see it, just as soon as it's there, immediately. You know, as soon as someone shows some attitude, you're immediately ready. So you're enthusiastic. You know.
Yes. Hmm. I would say that Krishna is always a Vishai, and devotees is always in the strive with the music speak here, because they say here all the time.
It's just so that we catch it that it's connected with rasa, because we were saying that he is rasa. So then all these different devotees see him in these different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Devaki and Vasudev, or Vasudeva Nanda, Pitroho, and others as well with similar sentiments, experienced Shoka Stai Bhava and Karuna Rasa. When he is known as a child in great danger, he is the Vishaya of lamentation, Shoka. Parents are the Ashraya. Shoka is the Stai. Pain is experienced on knowing the child is in danger. When he is seen as one's son, he is the Vishaya of Vatsalya. Parents are the Ashraya. One shows compassion for Krishna. The Stai is Vatsalyam. Parents are both Karuna and Vatsalya. Right? Because you're always compassionate. That's the thing. The parental Rasha shows that compassion, but it also shows that pain or lamentation, anything that's difficult for the child. Kamsa and others experience the Bhaya Stai Bhava and Bhaya Naka Rasa. When he is seen as death and most terrifying, he is the Vishaya of Bhaya, fear. Kamsa and others are the Ashraya, having offended him and being fearful of him. Fear means a heart agitated by offense or seeing something terrifying. That is the Stai. That is the Staya. The ignorant experience Jugupsa Stai and Bibatsa Stai, disgust, since they thought he was a materially imperfect person, disgusting with perspiration and blood. He is the object of Jugupsa. Ignorant people are the Ashraya. Though the Lord is most beautiful, demons perceive him as disgusting. When the heart closes with such feelings, it is called Jugupsa Stai. Devotees with a mixture of jnana saw him as the Parabrahman, and experience Shanta Stai and Shanta Rasa. He is the object of Shanta. Yogis are the Ashraya. Shanta is the Rati. With qualities like Sama, Samo, Man, Nishata, Budhe. Shama means fixing the intelligence in me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.36. Thus, Shantarasa means being fixed in Krishna with peacefulness. Shanta refers to that affection which takes shelter of his sarup while there is absence of all material desires. Possessing affection for him while at the same time having an absence of more intense bhavas like Dasi or Sakya. He was the most worshipable for the Rishnis. He produced Saprema Bhakti, Dasya. This means that they had bhakti with knowledge of him as being worshipable. Prema Bhakti was their Stai Bhava. He is the object of Priti. Uddhava, Akura, and others are the Ashray. The Rati has respect. The Stai is called Priti. This is called Saprema Bhakti in Sridhar Swami's commentary. Each rasa has its Udipanas, Anubhavas, etc. For fear of too large a work, these are not explained. Right? Because now if you got into all that, then we... Moreover, Raudra, Virya, Bhayanaka, and Bibhatsa rasas are actually rasa bhas in this verse, since they are not related to Rati. The demons have no love for the Lord. The rasas are explained clearly in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Virya rasa, specifically here, it's rasa bhas?
Because it's not actually in relation to Krishna in love. So we're pointing out that everybody has their relationship with him based on rasa, but it's actually rasa bhas, because unless it's in prema, it's not actually considered technically pure rasa. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like calling an ambassador a car. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Kamsa saw that Kuvalyapita was dead and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety. O king, arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands, and garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors, the two mighty armed lords shone splendid in the arena. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgences. O king, as the citizens of the city and the people from outlying districts gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of the people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of the Lord's faces without becoming satiated. The people seemed to be drinking Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, licking them with their tongues, smelling them with their nostrils, and embracing them with their arms. Reminded of the Lord's beauty, character, charm, and bravery, the members of the audience began describing these features to one another according to what they had seen and heard. Footnote 18. The BBT purport states in verse 21 to 22, naturally those who assemble in Mathura for the wrestling festival had heard the latest news of Krishna and Balaram's adventures in the city, how the lords had broken the sacrificial bow, defeated the police and killed the elephant Kuvalyapita. And now that the people were seeing Krishna and Balaram enter the arena, their greatest expectations were confirmed. Krishna is the embodiment of all beauty, fame, and opulence, and therefore those assembled in the wrestling arena became fully satisfied by glorifying what they had heard of him and were now seeing. Srila Jiva Goswami points out, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the next eight verses describe what the people said. The people said, these two boys are certainly expansions of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudeva. This one, Krishna, took birth from Mother Devaki and was brought to Gokula, where he has remained concealed all this time, growing up in the house of King Nanda. He made Putana and the whirlwind demon meet their death, pulled down the twin Arjuna trees and killed Shankachuda, Keshi, Danuka, and similar demons. He saved the cows and the cowherds from a forest fire and subdued the serpent Kaliya. He removed Lord Indra's false pride by holding up the best of mountains with one hand for an entire week, thus protecting the inhabitants of Gokula from rain, wind, and hail. The gopis overcame all kinds of distress and experienced great happiness by seeing his face, which is always cheerful with smiling glances and ever free of fatigue. Footnote 19. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, because of seeing Krishna's face, the gopis were easily able to surpass the obstacles and scolding of husbands and fathers-in-law. Right, so for, in other words, the point is if we're absorbed in Krishna, then the obstacles of performing services and all that aren't a disturbance. Right? That's the whole point. If we're absorbed in Krishna, then it works nicely. If we're not absorbed in Krishna, then it's slower. Because if it's just a matter of doing things properly and all that, following the rules, then that's appropriate. But then it becomes harder if we don't see it in connection to Krishna. That's why being Krishna conscious is actually the easier path. Trying to do everything nicely without thinking of Krishna, that's the harder path. It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty will become extremely famous and attain wealth, glory, and power. This lotus-eyed elder brother of his, Lord Balaram, is the proprietor of all transcendental opulences. He has killed Pralamba, Vatsaka, Baka, and other demons. Footnote 20. Srila Sridhar Swami remarks, the confused statements about Balaram's being the killer of Danuka, Vatsa, and Bakasura is because of misinformation within the ordinary people's opinions. Right? So they come up with these things because they've heard different things and because they just, you know, that's how it works. But the point is, since it's about Krishna and Balaram, it doesn't really matter. You know, they're glorifying the Lord, they're thinking about the Lord according to their ways, they see the Lord, the particular rasa, so it's all going well. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, while the people talked in this way and the musical instruments resounded, the wrestler Chanura addressed Krishna and Balaram with the following words. Chanura said, O son of Nanda, O Rama, you too are well respected by courageous men and are both skillful at wrestling. Having heard of your prowess, the king has called you here, wanting to see for himself. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He addressed them, O son of Nanda, O Rama. By addressing Krishna as the son of Nanda, he indicates that Nanda was his true father. He addressed Balaram as Rama, meaning that he gave pleasure to all people, to encourage him to fight. But the wrestler, right, because the idea of the wrestling match is to please everybody. Right, so then he would, you know, fight to do that. But the wrestler intended to show the low birth of Krishna from a coward family, and by not mentioning Balaram's lineage, indicate that his parentage was not known, in order to take away their glory by mocking them. You are respected by men as being courageous. Right? So it's just general men, they're not showing their position. The king has heard you are skillful at wrestling. He wants to see you wrestle. Since the king wants to see, you must be qualified. Thus you should participate in this fight. Because of the contrary meaning of the words, the statement is meant to mock them. Right? So we know from that mood that he's saying these things in a way of mocking them as if that they're not in that mood or they're not qualified. He's saying, because the king has called you, then you must be qualified. Not saying that you are qualified. Just that the king called you, that makes your qualification. You understand? So these meanings can have both of these meanings. Right, the aspect of how they're calling them and then by these names and all that, so they're qualified in their particular position, or it can be used to for the particular rasa that's there and the particular pastime, then to criticize. Chanura continued, subjects of the king who try to please him with their thoughts, acts, and words are sure to achieve good fortune. But those who fail to do so will suffer the opposite fate. It is well known that cowherd boys are always joyful as they tend their calves, and that the boys playfully wrestle with each other while grazing their animals in the various forests. Therefore, let's do what the king wants. Right? So he's showing that they are wrestling, you know, so they know wrestling and all that, but at the same time he's showing that they're just wrestling in the fields. And he mentions the calves, he doesn't mention the cows, right? Everyone will be pleased with us, for the king embodies all living beings. Hearing this, Lord Krishna, who liked to wrestle and welcome the challenge, replied with words appropriate to time and place. Lord Krishna says, although forest dwellers, we are also subjects of the Bhoja king. We must gratify his desires, for such behavior will confer upon us the greatest benefit. So pointing out that one is under the protection of someone, then it has to be respected like that. And so in this way, then, that's why he's taking part, due to the religious principle. Not that he knows wrestling, or because wrestling is the thing, or all that kind of thing. No, it's the appropriate thing to do. They, as citizens of the kingdom, then have to respect the king. King would like them to wrestle, therefore, in respect of the king, due to his protection, therefore, that's why they're wrestling. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He accepts Chanura's proposal in these words. He addresses Kamsa as king of the Bhojas to show respect and to indicate that the king was not Ugrasena. We are subjects of the king, but we are forest people, and you are city dwellers. Therefore, we must obey the order of the king. This is the mercy of the king to us. Therefore, we will do it. Actually, the verse expresses disrespect. We are not your subjects, since we eternally wander in Vrindavan. Kamsa is a recent person. Therefore, we desire to do what is pleasing to the king of the cowherds, not what is pleasing to Kamsa. It is impossible to obey the orders of your king here. This is the mercy to us. Being the objects of his affection, our hearts melt. By that, we are able to accomplish his wishes, even here. Right? So they can please Nanda Maharaj even in Braj. I mean, in Mathura. So they're going to do all these activities just to please the cowherd men and cowherd boys. Like that. And then also those who are devoted, that actually comes up. But not that he's come here to please Kamsa, because the result of this wrestling match, there's a good chance it won't please Kamsa. You know, strange, but, you know, I say, fact is stranger than fiction. Right? So, yes. Lord Krishna continued, we are just young boys and should play with those of equal strength. The wrestling match must go on properly so that irreligion does not taint the respectable members of the audience. Right? Because if it's not properly done, then the respectable members of the audience, they become implicated. Just like we can see, is because the gambling match was wrong. Therefore, all the elders that were there and all the kings that were there then also were implicated. You know, and therefore ended up fighting with Duryodhana and ended up quite dead. Right, so that's the whole point. It's inappropriate. If something goes wrong, if someone is claiming authority over an area and has that, they also have the responsibility for whatever goes on. So if something improper goes on, they're responsible. They have to see to its correction. They have to do it. And if they don't, then the reaction of that will go to them.
Did they get the reaction because they didn't speak up against the injustice, or is it because they just witnessed the injustice happen?
Any of that. It means the elders, that they're the ones, they're the authorities, they're supposed to do something. Like that. The common person, no, they're just there because they don't control these things.
Did they get a reaction also from watching?
No, not necessarily. But at the same time, they could if they don't go away or something. But the point is leadership supposed to lead. And if it doesn't, then how does it claim to have authority? And because they do claim authority, then they get the responsibility. You know, it's just like when we think, no, I can do it, then Krishna lets you do it. Does that make sense? Because we say that this work is my work, the results are mine, therefore you get the karma. But when it's Krishna's work and the results are for Krishna, there is no karma. You understand?
Jiva Goswami comments, we are not very strong, Balaha. The plural is used rather than the dual to indicate as a general example, right? Meaning as forest people, right? Rather than just the two of us. Otherwise they would have used the dual case, you know, that it's Krishna and Balaram, that they are. But they use the general plural. That they are in their group. Among many other boys, or indicate them as a group of cowherd boys. Right? Because that's where he's identifying.
is, you know, we're cowherd boys. We're here. We should play with boys who are not greater or lesser in strength. It is my desire to do this as play. Another meaning is, oh fools, we will play with our cowherd friends, not with you, who are less in strength. Gopai samana guna shila vayo vilasa veshais cha murchita kala svana venum vinahi. The cowherds had similar qualities, character, age, play, dress, as well as similar music coming from their flutes and veenas. It has already been said that the wrestlers saw Krishna as the thunderbolt, but we will engage in this fight at your insistence. It is not our fault if you die because of touching my limbs, which are like thunderbolts, right? Because they already figured that out. So if you want to wrestle, hey, you know what to do. Harivamsa says, I am a child and Chanura from Andhra is like a mountain. Okay. So he's eating plenty of chili. I would like to fight with him since he has strong arms. I will not break the rules of fighting and will not spoil the beliefs of the wrestlers. They have rubbed cow dung, water, sindoor, and cosmetics on their bodies. Sense control, steadiness, courage, bodily movements, actions described by scriptures on fighting and strength are causes of success according to experts at combat. Right, so sense control still has to be there. It's not that you just do whatever you want and you'll be successful in anything. It still has to be there. Steadiness, you have to be steady in what you're doing, focused on it, keep doing what you're doing. Courage, otherwise you can't go forward. Bodily movements, so what techniques they use. Actions prescribed by scriptures. On fighting means that they have to stick within what is recommended, what's not recommended. You can't do moves that aren't. And strength, right, to be able to apply that. And whoever is the strongest, better at the technique, better in the proper mood, then they'll be successful. Since the person is eager to engage in wrestling with the opponent, I will punish him and satisfy the world. Chanura, a descendant of Vaivasvata Manu's wrestlers.
Son.
How did I get that? Yeah, or Vaivasvata Manu's wrestler in order to glorify a king who thinks he is learned. Killer of those wrestlers should be killed. Yeah, okay. Chanura, a descendant of Vaivasvata Manu's son, should be considered a wrestler by his body and actions. Right? Because even though he's the son of the Manu, he should be counted in that category. But by his bodily features, how he uses those features, how he's come forward, he presents himself, his actions in the past, therefore he's accepted as a wrestler. He has killed many wrestlers after throwing them on the ground. With a desire for violence in the arena, he has spoiled the art of wrestling. Because it's just about the violence. It's not about using the technique and things like that. The victory with weapons is done on the battlefield. The victory in the arena of wrestlers is caused by striking the opponent. He who is victorious on the battlefield has everlasting fame. He who dies by weapons on the battlefield attains swarga. The person killed on the battlefield and the killer as well attain perfection. Those who die on the battlefield are worshipped extensively by the great. But in wrestling, fame is sustained by strength and skill. One does not attain swarga by dying in the wrestling arena. Some wrestlers may be killed by another wrestler in order to glorify a king who thinks he is learned. The killer of those wrestlers should be killed. Right? So in other words, here he's pointing out is that it may be a martial science. And so on the battlefield, if they use the wrestling and they kill the opponent, then they attain swarga. You know, so both, one by his effort he attains and the one who is killed, you know, by putting in his best effort. So in other words, by their best efforts, they attain to the heavenly planets. But when you bring it into the arena where it's sport, then it should just stay a sport. So then you're looking at the skill and all those different things and how expertly they, how you say... Not enacted, not performed, that kind of thing. In other words, how well they executed. the particular movement, you know, in conjunction with whatever movement was done with against them, then that is the joy of the audience and those who are actually learned. But if the wrestlers are just interested in violence and killing the other, and the king is quite comfortable with that, then actually that's why he said who thinks he is learned, because actually learned is not about that aspect of the wrestling, but of the technique itself, the expertise of technique. Not that they can't fight on the battlefield, but at this point they're only showing technique. You know, it's just like, let's say, if the martial artist is practicing his technique, that's what you're doing. But you're doing it with another person. Does that make sense? So, technically, therefore, the killers of those wrestlers, they should be killed. So, in other words, Chanura should be killed because he's one who's interested in violence, and his king, who wants this kind of violence, then also. So, both these should be killed. So, then, he's already stated that. Chanura concluded, "You aren't really a child or even a young man, and neither is that strongest of the strong, Balaram. After all, you playfully killed an elephant who had the strength of 1,000 other elephants." Right, so, yeah. Still, Bhima would be stronger, right? Because he has 10,000 elephants. So. "Therefore, you too should fight powerful wrestlers. There's certainly nothing unfair about that." Because he was saying, you want to see wrestling, you know, as a sport? Then we'll wrestle with our cowherd boyfriends. Like that. You know, but he's saying, no, you just killed this elephant like sport, you know. For therefore, then you should be wrestling with the strong. But now the point is if they by sport killed an elephant that's as powerful as 10,000 elephants, then unless they're stronger than 1,000 elephants, wouldn't they be kind of a little foolish to be making all these statements? "You, O descendant of Vrishni, can show your prowess against me, and Balaram can fight with Mustika." Conclusion. Krishna appears differently to different people according to their different relationships with him. Thus, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure and all kinds of rasa, both favorable and unfavorable. Right? So, everything, he's the essence of all relationships and all tastes. But those who see him unfavorably and following the footsteps of the great devotees, then they actually please Krishna. Right? Krishna will reciprocate with everyone, but he's pleased by interacting with those who see him from the devotional point of view. Okay, chapter 40, the killing of Kamsa. Pratigya. Although Krishna is independent of all Vedic injunctions, he violates the Vedic injunctions only in inevitable cases. Right? And then establishes himself as the one who establishes the rules. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter tells how Krishna and Balaram killed the wrestlers, how Krishna killed Kamsa and consoled Kamsa's wives, and how the two lords were reunited with their mother and father. Deciding to wrestle, Lord Krishna faced off against Chanura, and Lord Balaram took on Mustika. Battling arm to arm, head to head, knee to knee, and chest to chest, the opponents attacked each other so fiercely that they appeared to be harming even their own bodies. The ladies in the arena, seeing the violent battle, began to condemn the king and all the members of the assembly. A respectable audience should never have allowed a wrestling match between such huge wrestlers, whose limbs are as tough as lightning bolts, and such tender young boys who are just entering youth. An intelligent person should never enter an assembly if he sees injustice being done there. End quote. Because Vasudeva and Devaki did not fully understand the power of Krishna and Balaram, they became extremely unhappy when they heard the women of the audience speak these words, because then they got worried about Krishna's position. Right? So, because they say Krishna's Cupid, now they're going to see that gentle side, that soft side, that youthful side, while Chanura and Mustika are seeing them, you know, as thunderbolts of how powerful they are and this and that. So they're seeing two different aspects. Sri Krishna then grabbed Chanura's arms, whirled him around several times, and threw him to the ground, killing him. Mustika met a similar fate. After being struck powerfully by Lord Balaram's palm, he began vomiting blood and then fell down dead. Thereupon the wrestlers named Kuta, Sala, and Toshala came forward, But Krishna and Balaram easily killed them with the blows of their fists and feet, right? They wrestled for some time with these big ones, you know, for the sport of it, and then killed them, right? Basically in the same techniques that they would kill others, right? And then when the others came forward, then just a punch or a kick, and they didn't bother spreading it out, you know, spending extra time. The remaining wrestlers, fearing for their lives, all fled, right? Because if Chanura and Mustika, you know, it looked like there was a chance, but then they killed them. And then the next guys, who are the next, you know, ones down, came in and just, one punch, one kick, like that, then they're done. Then the next guys, what chance do they have, right? So they just fled, right? So this.
And then the ones that didn't have sufficient piety to be killed by God.
Yeah, you could also look at it that. But also we see is that the, how you say, one punch fighting technique is also not new. Except for Kamsa, everyone present cheered Krishna and Balaram. I'm not sure if he was booing, but he probably just was not cheering. Right? The king, in a rage, stopped the festive music and ordered that Vasudev, Nanda, Ugrasena, and all the cowards be severely punished, and that Krishna and Balaram be driven from the assembly. Krishna became furious when he heard Kamsa speak this way, and he instantly leapt onto the lofty royal dais. Right, so that means from at the arena, then to there, he just jumped up there. Right, so that he wasn't expecting. You figure that he'll take some time, and then all the others there, and his bodyguards, that it didn't work like that. He grabbed Kamsa by the hair, hurled him down onto the floor of the wrestling ring. So from there, then he just tossed him out there. Right? And threw himself on top of him. Also a standard wrestling move. He just, you know, instead of using the what is it called? The side, the, you know, the
railing?
The railing of the wrestling match, and he jumped from the from the, you know, the places for the. In this way, Kamsa met his death, because out of fear, Kamsa had always thought of Krishna. After his death, he gained the liberation of having a form like the Lord's, right? Because he was always thinking of Krishna's form. So then he got that. Kamsa's eight brothers then attacked Krishna. But Balaram easily killed each of them with his club, just as a lion kills defenseless animals. Kel drums resounded in the sky, right? Because Kamsa stopped the music there in the arena, so the demigods, and they filled in the music. Right? Kettle drums resounded in the sky as the joyful demigods rained down flowers and chanted the glories of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. The wives of Kamsa, grieving for their husband, lamented that he died because of his violence towards other living beings and his lack of respect for Krishna, the Supreme Soul, who creates, maintains, and destroys the entire universe. The Lord consoled the widows, had the funeral rites performed for Kamsa and his brothers, and then released his mother and father from bondage. Right? So being there in the assembly, being part of the dynasty there, then he performed the funeral rites and everything that would be done there, because otherwise his brothers were gone and... Krishna offered obeisances to his parents' feet, but they, now understanding him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, did not embrace him. Right? Because they, you know, it's like they knew before the is, but you go back and forth in the rasa. And so then when they heard the women of the assembly then speaking, then they, that parental aspect, but then now seeing how he behaved here, then they are seeing him now as the Supreme Lord. So unless Yogamaya covers a bit again, then they'll go back into the other. So that's the Mathura Leela, is they'll go back and forth between. He does something great, they see him as God, then he deals with them in a standard, say a general way, then they take on that mood of rasa, so they taste both of these. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. 1-5, Krishna and Balaram play with the wrestlers. 6-16, the discussions of the women around the arena. 17-30, Krishna and Balaram kill the wrestlers. 31-42, Krishna kills Kamsa. 43-51, the wives of Kamsa grieve. Verses 1-5, Krishna and Balaram play with the wrestlers. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed, Lord Krishna made up his mind to accept the challenge. He paired off with Chanura and Lord Balaram with Mushtika. Srila Jiva Goswami explains,
though Krishna was endowed with unlimited powers, Bhagavan, and thus could kill the wrestlers merely by his will, he confronted Chanura in order to have some fun at wrestling. Though he could kill him immediately, he did so after playing at wrestling for a long time, as in the killing of the Maru demon. Lokavattu lila kaivalyam. The Lord is absorbed in his pastimes, as in ordinary life. Vedanta Sutra 2.133. Right, so the Lord, he absorbs himself as ordinary people would absorb themselves. Then, but they have that false identity. He is taking this. He is all these things. So therefore, he can be absorbed in them and not lose his position. We become absorbed unless we see it in connection to Krishna. We lose our position. Like that. So whatever we're doing, we connect to Krishna. Krishna is everything. That means we have to connect. He is. What's the connect? It's all him. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that the next four verses describe how they played. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, seizing each other's hands and locking legs with each other, the opponents struggled powerfully, each eager for victory. They each struck fists against fists, knees against knees, head against head, and chest against chest. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, Aratni refers to making a fist, with exception of the little finger, as fighting in this way is very difficult. It is not as commonly known as fighting with the full fist. Okay. Because an aratni is up to the little finger. Mm-hmm. The measurement for the elbow, little finger. Hasta is to the middle finger. But to the little finger is an aratni. So to do that, you can't measure it if you have all your fingers out. So you have to curl the first fingers. So somehow or another, that kind of fist they're using. You know, or they're not using it, just using the knuckles, these three knuckles. Because that's the thing in the fighting. Some use the first three knuckles, and some will use the last two. Because if you look at your hand, the first three are in a straight line, and the last two are in a straight line. So you can either do either of those as fighting techniques. But just as Krishna invented new ways of playing on the flute, so also he fought in this way with great skill. Though Chanura experienced great difficulty with this, he accepted this style to show his bravery. Or Aratni means the elbow, according to Vrisha Prakasha and Dvirupa Kosha. Well, there's probably the first one. Is it a kosha also? Maybe not. So also then that's the elbow, because when you do the things, then it's with the elbow, because if you're going to use your elbow, you don't keep your hand out generally. You'll move it. So then, you know, so that it's out, so you're closed, and so then they'll use the elbow. So that's a standard thing also. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, each fighter contended with his opponent by dragging him about in circles, shoving and crushing him, throwing him down and running before and behind him, forcibly lifting and carrying each other, pushing each other away and holding each other down. The fighters hurt even their own bodies in their great eagerness for victory. Srila Sanatana Goswami points out, Krishna was not actually injured but acted in this way in response to Chanura's injuries. Or Sukadeva describes it in this way because of lamentation in praying. Or it only refers to Chanura being injured in fighting with Krishna. So any of these. So either Krishna was just acting in the same way so it would match with Chanura and Chanura would be inspired, because if Krishna did something that injured him and he could do something that injures Krishna back, then he would be inspired to fight. Well, if everything he does okay. Or those watching that moves that would cause injury, then others feel that Krishna is injured by that due to their rasa and that affection for him or that attraction. Then it also can mean that. Or it can just mean that when it says the wrestlers, it just means Chanura and Mustika, because they're also the wrestlers. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verses 6 to 16. The discussion of the women around the arena. So from this, then now comes this discussion. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues, my dear king, all the women present, considering the match an unfair fight between the strong and the weak, felt extreme anxiety due to compassion.
They assembled in groups around the arena and spoke to one another as follows. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. But the audience in the wrestling arena was not very much satisfied because the combatants did not appear to be equally matched. They considered Krishna and Balaram to be mere boys before Chanura and Mushtika, who were the strongest wrestlers, as solid as stone. Right? So if whatever is in his kingdom and his influence, then he would have so many wrestlers. And the best of them, that's Chanura and Mushtika. Right? So we can see by all his demon friends, if they're so powerful, I'm sure his wrestlers are quite good, right? Being compassionate and favoring Krishna and Balaram, the many ladies in the audience began to talk as follows. Dear friends, there is injustice here. And another said, even in front of the king, this wrestling is going on between incompatible sides. The ladies had lost their sense of enjoyment. They could not encourage the fighting between the strong and the weak. Footnote 21. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, the women began to discuss about the unfairness of the match between the strong Chanura and Mushtika and weak Krishna and Balaram. The reason was their compassion because of their pure prema. This was a symptom of their natural affection for Krishna. Because of that, they did not recollect Krishna and Balaram's superior strength. So they weren't remembering that he just killed, you know, the elephant and all those soldiers and everything like that. It's just that they're just so attracted by him that the particular affection they have, then they're seeing from that perspective. So it's love there. So we see also here's ladies like things to be just, to be equal, to be proper, like that. Because if everything's equal and just means then there's, you know, for the proper effort, then there's the proper result. You know, and that can all be gained because things are unfair if it can't be gained. Right? So it has to be, so since it's about gain, then justice then provides safety. Does that make sense? So it's a very standard thing. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the next 10 verses describe the talks of the women. The women said, alas, what a great irreligious act the members of this royal assembly are committing. As the king watches this fight between the strong and the weak, they also want to see it. It's not that it's going on and then they're seeing this is wrong, so they'll stop it. No, they want to see it. They think it's good. What comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers with limbs as strong as thunderbolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains and these two young, immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs? Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain for even a moment in a place where irreligion is flourishing. A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows that the participants there are committing acts of impropriety. And if, having entered such an assembly, he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. So this whole thing is that if one's dealing in an assembly, then one can't plead these things. You either speak up and try to correct it, even though it doesn't work, right? Or you don't enter, or you leave. That's the method. But then if you speak falsely there or plead ignorance, these things, that won't work. That's not, they incur sin. That's inappropriate. So the whole thing is there must be that proper thing. So if you know you can go in, you can say something, you can try to do something, then it's done. If you know that nothing can be done, why even bother? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Mushtika and Chanura are just like thunderbolts, as strong as great mountains, and Krishna and Balaram are two delicate boys of very tender age. The principle of justice has already left this assembly. Persons who are aware of the civilized principles of justice will not remain to watch this unfair match. Those taking part in watching this wrestling match are not very much enlightened. Therefore, whether they speak or remain silent, they are subject to the reactions of sinful activities. That's how you can say, well, I didn't vote for it, and it doesn't matter. Right? Because if you're not going to vote for it, what is it? Why do you need to be there? Right? You only need to be there if you're going to vote.
But if anything happens that is not really sinful, but it's just unfair or unjust,
then it'll have that much reaction. It means, in other words, it can't be considered fully irreligious if it's unfair. because then you're working in a smaller circle within that area, then it's, you know, what's appropriate, because you have all the etiquettes and the applications. So there's always going to be something.
But if it's going on a larger scale, like say in a movement, when you're part of the movement,
yeah, but what can you do? You, despite that, then you chant and be happy. Yeah. So in the areas of your responsibility, that's where you then see that things are proper. But in other areas, then you can't, you know, you can't do something. You know what I'm saying? According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in the next four verses, 11 to 13, the ladies of Mathura praise the land of Braja. The women continued, "Just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face, covered with drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight, resembles a lotus covered with dew. Don't you see the face of Lord Balaram, with his eyes copper red from his anger towards Mushtika, and its beauty enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight? How pious are they," right? Because also that's the attractive is when somebody's very absorbed in something, right? There's full emotion, full commitment there, then that's always appreciated. So on the basis of the fight being fair, then they're ready to leave. But because Krishna and Balaram, so in other words, from the side of the wrestlers and Kamsa and all the senior individuals there, they're ready to leave. But because of Krishna and Balaram are so attractive, then they're seeing that. So they've made their statement on that. They've made their point. So then they're free from the reaction. But at the same time, is then they're so absorbed in just seeing the beauty of Krishna and Balaram. How pious are the tracts of land in Braja, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about, enacting his many pastimes. Adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands, he whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Goddess Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Other affectionate women like the wives of the Brahmanas, endowed with the highest prema mixed with knowledge of his powers, praise the land of Braja because of its good qualities. While disrespecting Mathura on seeing the inequality in the assembly in four verses. The lands related to Braja are most fortunate, but this is not at all surprising, whereas not even one piece of other places is fortunate. In those lands, Krishna, though the oldest person, Purana, ever young, Krishna, though the oldest person, ever young, and the main person, Purusha, wanders about. Right? So all these contradictions, they bring out the flavor. Right? Because sometimes it's that why that's there. But that's how it works. You always have to, these contradictions are balanced. Does that make sense? So then that aspect you have to see.
Is it because of the residents of Mathura that they say the Supreme Personality disguised in a human form, whereas that form is the supreme form? So would we then say
yes? But no. But the point is he is the supreme lord. But this is his. He takes that. That's his preferred mood. Now, whether you're putting an emphasis on that or God is doing this, it's just a matter of whether sweetness is prominent or Aishwarya is prominent, like that. Because the point is, it's the same thing,
right?
Like that. Just that the sweetness is first. That's all. It's the same. The sweetness is first. They speak in the present tense, since very recently he wandered there and intended to return there. Actually, however, the present tense establishes that wandering there is his eternal pastime. Right? So it has both the aspects. That you know, from the context of application, that he was just there and he's going to go back there, so therefore then he's wandering the forest, not that he's right this moment wandering the forest. Right? So it still works in the present tense. But at the same time, it's also indicating his eternal pastimes in which he does this. Mm-hmm.
Outside of Braja, Krishna is rarely attained. His feet are worshipped according to the rules of Archana by Shiva and Lakshmi in their minds, but they cannot serve him directly like the people of Braja. But now he is wandering Mathura also. He plays in a special manner there, Vikridaya. In Braja he plays, whereas he has been sent to Mathura to fight with the enemies and is surrounded by indifferent people. Right, because in Braj, he's only surrounded by those who have that affection. You don't have something else. So there's not some different. Right? But in Mathura, then there's all these indifferent individuals. Here in Mathura, he does not really play, since here his actions do not arise from his spontaneous desire to play. Right? It's not that he thought, well, let me go kill an elephant this morning. Right? No. So it's that these things come up, he deals with them. She's showing what's the actual Dharma, how he is God, all these different things like that. Here he plays in a remarkable way because of his desire of his most cherished pastime, since that place has favorability and dearness to him. Right? So that's why they're saying in present, because it's only because of Braj that he's actually showing this playfulness here. So there's that aspect. Is Mathura and Dwarka have their flavor of that. We see that kind of playfulness of Krishna because of the playfulness of Braja. Because it's that person who has come here. Right? But being in Mathura, Dwarka, he manifests that mood. Right? So he's Dwarkadish. You know? Because he's there. And so that's how they deal. That's how he reciprocates. But underlying, his nature is that of Braja. Means it'll ultimately be back to him, but it's he's initiating the pastimes, you could say, from the principle of you know, being the Supreme Lord or being God. So these demons need to be killed, so therefore he may initiate how it'll come about. But otherwise, in Vrindavan, it's just the exchange of prema. Well, here is that demons come up and make trouble and therefore cause problem for those who are pious, for those who are devotees. So that has to be removed. So how he removes it, well, yes, of course, be according to his desire. But in either case, then Yogamaya arranges it so that he doesn't, you know, it's not that, you know, he has to sit there and, you know, somebody comes in the room and, you know, how you say, Krishna's saying, yeah, so make sure that there's a big elephant out there, not just any old elephant, I want one that's as strong as 1,000 elephants out there, you know, and give it some funny name also, you know, don't just have any old, you know, not George or Harold, right, you know, we want something far out, you know, like that. So it's not that he's going through that, it's just Yogamaya knowing what would please him, then she arranges. But the reason he's going there is because of the imbalance in the proper performance of duties. Well, in Braj, there's no improper performance. So he's there for eternally. So that's the actual source. Then Mathura and Dwarka, these are expansions coming from Vrindavan. Mm-hmm.
So in the same manner, Mahaprabhu, he came for external and internal reasons.
Yes, yes, three reasons. So one is but you have external and internal in all of them, but where the focus is. So you can say the Samkirtan mission, the focus will be on the aspect, the form of the Samkirtan that you see there. But what's the purpose? To bring people together to be nourished in Krishna consciousness and become develop love for Krishna. So if that's understood, then the external, how we apply it, then becomes, you know, glorious. Right? And then the nourishment of it, the second point of the devotees, then that, so they personally themselves develop and start to taste that Krishna consciousness. But in doing that, that furthers their interest in developing love for them and furthers their interest in taking part in the Samkirtan mission. Right? And then the third aspect of tasting that love for Krishna, then in that, then he's doing those activities, but in that, then that is, you know, nourishing his own position, and then you want to give that to others, therefore the Samkirtan pastime.
So that stands for three points.
Yes, so all those three, they nourish each other.
That's why when you have someone just preaches and doesn't do the other two and just says, you know, it's like I heard the other day someone saying, well, it's actually higher on Guru Purnima to go out and preach, and we don't stay back for all this festival and all that. That's just sense gratification. Like, what are you talking about? What about the Vishwambar part? Associating with devotees, encourage each other, and things like that. So there's this idea that preaching is the thing and everything else is nonsense. Or just sitting together and cultivating, that's there, just privately, you know, tasting and that's the thing. And these other things, those are external. You know what I'm saying? But the point is this, external for the Lord. Mother Jashoda cooking for Krishna is external. So are we going to say that's material? No. So therefore, why would the Sankirtan movement, even though it's external, be material? So we have to be able to understand what is primary and secondary, how it works. So as soon as we adjust whichever area we're doing, then that...
So we have basically traditional approach, and then traditional, then we have to match with individual, because you know,
yes,
everybody has to somehow balance those two.
Yes, they have to find their place. Well, no, actually three, because they have to strive for pure love for Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Cultivating, you know, themselves where they are now so that they're inspired and chant, and to then encourage others to take the process up. Because that's what preaching is to get others to take up the process. Right.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Go.